If you'll take your, and give attention to your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we've come down to the section that includes verses 8 and 9. I want to deal with the subject of warfare, for the child of God is in a warfare. If I had to discuss this subject or do a conference on it, and I've done numerous conferences that were spiritual warfare conferences, I would say to the people of God, number one, you need to know, don't write that down, I'm just saying, I would say, are you aware that you're in a war? You know, God's people act like that the Lord has called us to a summer cruise. This is not a cruise ship we're on. This is a battleship. And the most important thing I know, that when trouble comes, trouble is expected, because Jesus said, I'm going to send you like sheep in the midst of wolves. And so we must not think it's strange when fiery trials and difficulties come our way. When Peter wrote about it, here's what he said, verse 8. And I find it interesting that he made this statement after he said, cast all your care on him, verse 7, for he cares for you. Now, if you're going to try to eliminate verse 7 and minimize verse 7, you'll be an absolute failure at the next two verses. Because the reality of it is this: the devil is real. What I'm about to point out to you is that the Word of God says he is your adversary. But we must remember that anywhere Jesus is Lord of your life, you will not be beset by the work of the enemy. Now, I don't know of anything that's going to remove you from the battle except when the Lord calls you home. I didn't say you wouldn't be in a battle, but you don't have to be defeated. And wherein Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and yours, we don't live lives of defeat. Turn that around. Anywhere in my life or yours that Jesus is not functioning as Lord, you are going to act worse than a monkey. You're going to let the devil make a monkey out of you. You're going to hurt your testimony. You're going to hurt everybody around you. And it goes back to the reality that you must cast your care upon him. Not because that's just a wise thing to do, but because he cares for you. Can you think of anything more wonderful than to be able to say, Almighty God cares about me? Let that dawn on you. Does that mean anything to you? It ought to mean it ought to mean unspeakably wealthy value in my heart, unless I just believe God's blowing smoke and doesn't believe what he said. So let it dawn on you that he cares about you. Now, be sober. That means serious. Be vigilant. Be on your guard. Stay watchful. Because, he says, your adversary, the devil, that is the word diabolos for the devil himself. That's not daimonian. When sometimes the Bible talks about the devil's plural, it's the word diabolos. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Devour means, does not mean there to eat up. It means to harass and to intimidate, to sift you, and to try to absolutely wear you thin and wear holes all in your faith. Now, with that said, the Jewish people took great, 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 great emphasis in the meaning of a name. Now, in our society and in this culture, we have lost that concept altogether. I have no examples, nor would I. But if you will be around people, and the school teachers, wherever they serve, will tell you this, some of the names that people tack on a child, you must despise the child to have given them such a name. You ought to think about how, again, that the most cruel thing in the world is not a hyena. It's a child who can make fun of another child. And you're sending your child into a social gathering of people in the name of education, and the first thing they're going to do is make fun of them. And if you tack some silly name on them, they absolutely are going to do their best to destroy them. And I would think long and hard before I, well, that name's unique. What else might it mean? What else, how could that be prostituted? I could give examples, but I'm not going to do that. Suppose that a person's last name is Raspberry. There is such a thing. Would you name your child Red? I heard of an example one time when there was a family whose last name was Denim, and they named the kid Blue. Would you do that? Can you imagine that every day the child lives, somebody's going to say, "Hello, Gene." And so think about that. And so the reason I call attention to that is that God is sharing with us what I've given you on that list. And if God said, "This is the name of the devil," because what you have on your handout are all names that God shared with us as who the devil's called, then we're going to know something about the work of this one who is our adversary. Now, I must say this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and he gives the plurality in the book of Ephesians, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness there, spiritual wickedness in high places. But if I wrestle not against flesh and blood, Beth cannot be my problem. She's flesh and blood. And your wife is not your problem, and your husband is not your problem. If you'll go look in the mirror, that's probably your biggest problem. Because you have failed to realize that if you will cast your care on him, he cares about you. And that's more wonderful than any struggle that you could have. God in you, says the scripture, greater is he that is in us than the one that's in the world, referring to your adversary in mind. With that stated, I'm just going to pause there. And I wanted to tease you, but I was afraid you'd think I was serious. You'll notice on your handout, I don't guess you've had a chance to count them, but there's 41 names, and I was going to tell you I'm going to read all 41 verses. I'm not going to do that. You'd have fell out, passed out. But I've given you the reference, and if you in your own devotion and study want to go back and read this name in that scripture, that's why I gave you the text. So the first thing I want you to notice is that the word Abaddon, you see it on your handout, is one of the names that's given to the devil. The Bible calls Satan and the devil by different names, and each name signifies something about the devil's nature and work. Abaddon, that is a Hebrew name for Satan that means destruction. So if you just write on that line destruction, that's what that means. Now, do we need to connect dots that's that close together? Why would the Lord have wanted us to know that Abaddon means destruction? Because your adversary is out to destroy you. Next one. Accuser. You know what it is to be accused? It means that someone or somebody is speaking against you to condemn you. And your adversary, God said, is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses because he's wanting to condemn you. If I could not get you to do wrong, I would want to get you to think that you're wrong. And so the person who won't actually do wrong will all time think that they are guilty of something when they may not be guilty of what the devil is accusing you of. Because to be accused drains one of spiritual energy and strength, and the joy of the Lord, says the scripture, is our strength. Third one, adversary. It's listed in our text of 1 Peter 5:8. An adversary is an opposer, just someone that opposes. He's your adversary. He opposes you. And so he and his demon cohorts oppose you. They're not for you. Nothing you can do good would they approve of it, because God is the author of all that's good. The next one, angel of light. An angel of light, as used in the scripture reference that you've been given, is a title that means he is disguising himself. He will want you to think this when in reality he's in disguise. This is what he is. How many times have I had a Christian man or woman say, "Pastor, that appeared, she appeared, he appeared to be so wonderful. But in reality, that's what the devil does. The devil wants you to believe everything that he has planned for you is good, and he can always put lights and bows and icicles on it to glamorize you, and unless you are tied to the reality of Holy Scripture, you will believe the impressions, listen, the impressions of your senses. Well, it didn't feel bad. That's not one of your senses that you're supposed to rely on. Well, it didn't seem, folks, it's not about seeming. It's about you walking with Christ and staying where Christ wants you. And remembering that any of us can be deceived at any point in time, and we stay with Scripture and we let God work out the details, and you quit trying to work out God's details for Him. I've had more men and women say, "Pastor, I'm going to marry that guy or that gal because, quote, I don't think I can do any better." You know what that tells me? You're so far off in left field, you are on another planet. It ain't about how much better you can do. God will do the best and give the best to those that leave the choice to Him.
Did you know how long I've been single? I don't want to be an old maid. I don't want to be an old bachelor.
Folks, there's something worse than being an old maid and an old bachelor, and that's to be anything out of the will of God. And the moment you stand at an altar and say, "I do," that became the will of God by your choice. I know that's tough, but that's why he said what he did about being an angel of light. Don't be enamored when something's got beautiful lights. They tell us Las Vegas has got more lights than any city. I don't think you'll find that that's necessarily a good thing, would you, given what Las Vegas is known for? Then he says, angel, this is the fifth one, angel of the bottomless pit. We are learning, and we've always known, but we're learning again as we come to the book of the Revelation, that the word angel means messenger. He talks about the angel of the church, speaking of the pastor of the church, who is God's messenger to the church. But angel is not always used reference to the pastor. Angels sometimes are used as in reference to the created beings, the angelic host. And angels are sometimes used in the sense of the angels that followed Lucifer in the overthrow, and they are fallen angels who were cast out to the earth. And he uses the phrase angel of the bottomless pit to tell you that this Satan, this devil, is the messenger to the abyss, to that awful place that is prepared, the bottomless pit. He's the one that is your adversary. Don't forget that now. Anointed cherub that covereth. The devil is referred to as the anointed cherub that covereth, means he is of the highest class, of the highest order. There are Bible scholars who believe that we have in the Scriptures Gabriel. He would be the one to make the announcements. He would be the warning angel. Michael, he would be the warring angel, because when they were contending for the body of Moses, the warring angel Michael said to Lucifer, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." And then many feel that Lucifer, who we know as Satan, was the worshiping angel because he was the highest order. Some even suggest, because musical instruments were found within him, pipes and tabrets, that he was the choir director of heaven. We don't know that, but we know there were musical instruments within him. But folks, your adversary is not some Johnny-come-lately that rode in on the proverbial turnip truck and doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's always, 100% of the time, more powerful than you and me, but he's not more powerful than the one that lives inside of us, and that's why it's imperative that we cast all of our care on Jesus, because the Lord cares for us. He's called the Antichrist. Anti means against. He's just against Jesus. That's not hard to figure out. And the one that's against Jesus wants you to get all twisted. And I want to repeat again something that I said this morning from my Sunday school teacher. Crisis will cause you to either have a moment when you meet with God and make a fresh commitment, or crisis will always cause you to compromise. And compromise generally comes out of crisis when people forget what's going on. And that is that the devil is at work. He's against Christ, and he's working, hoping you'll get discouraged and you'll turn against Christ. Forget what God said. Do what you've got to do. After all, quote, I can't take anymore. There ain't a person in this room that hasn't either said it or thought it at some point in time. Apollyon, that is the Greek name for Satan as the destroyer. You know what he's wanting to do to your life? Destroy it. You know what he wants to do to your family? Destroy it. You know what he wants to do to your marriage? Destroy it. You know what he wants to do to your finances? Destroy it. You know what he wants to do to your business? Destroy it. He doesn't want anything about your life that could bring glory to Jesus Christ. Beast. Interesting what that word means. It means one who's venomous. He got venom, poison. That's the beast. Then, of course, Beelzebub is the prince and ruler of demons. That's who Lucifer is called. And you remember that the religious crowd said of Jesus on one occasion, why, these are not really miracles. He's being inspired by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. Most blasphemous statement I guess I know in all of Scripture that they accused him of. Can you imagine saying that Jesus is demon-possessed or possessed of the devil? That's what they said about him. Then the word Belial is one of his names. Means that Belial means a spirit of wickedness. Folks, he may appear at times to be good, but trust me, he is wicked from his radiator to his taillight. There's not one thing good about the devil. Then there is the word deceiver. One who is a deceiver has set out to seduce. Now, folks, we often think of seduction in terms of sexual matters, and that would be accurate, but the devil wants to seduce you to do anything that would not be honorable to God. And a few things in life that some people could do that might be honorable would not be honorable for me or you to do. You say, well, like what? Well, you may be skinnier than a rail and you need another piece of meat and another piece of pie and that sort of thing. And it might not be a bad thing for you to do it. But when you're fighting diabetes like I am, you absolutely might be doing the wrong thing. And just because somebody else can do it doesn't mean you can do it. And what he'll try to do is seduce you. He's a deceiver. Then, of course, the word devil is used. The word devil means he's a slanderer. Did you know the Bible tells us that he is a liar and the father of all lies? All he knows is slander. Then the word dragon. Dragon means a fascinating kind of serpent. I would suggest to you that that's the way he appeared in the garden. Boy, was he ever fascinating. Can you imagine the beauty that would have been in that dude before he was cursed by God and made to crawl on his belly? You will find some things in life that come to you that's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, and all it is just another serpent that ought to be crawling on its belly. And you're giving it some credit and some attention to it when in reality it's just nothing more than a serpent that's fascinating you for the moment. Folks, be very, 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 I'm going to say it again, very, 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 very careful what you get enamored with. Enamorment is the first step toward your seduction. If you find yourself having an interest in something that, I probably don't need to have an interest in that. Well, probably there's not anything to it. You need to know that if it's something that could lead you astray, diminish you spiritually, run from it like a scalded dog. Enemy. Enemy means a hateful and hostile one. He is your enemy. He's hateful. He's trying to fill you and me with hate, and he fills others with hate. And if we aren't careful, the herd of the hate that comes our way will make us be filled with hate. That's why I can't afford to carry hurt very long. If I carry hurt very long, folks, it doesn't do good at all. that hurt will cause you every time somebody or something is mentioned, this comes up inside of you, and I hate that. Well, it's because the one who's full of hate has created you to have you feel that way. That's why it's a bad thing if somebody's name is mentioned, your blood pressure goes up immediately, you got a problem. And it's spiritual in nature. Evil one, look at that, intrinsically wicked. That's what it means. From within, he's wicked. Father of lies, he's the originator of all falsehood. I'm pausing because I know you're writing. Occasionally someone will say to the people in the sound booth, y'all went too fast. And of course, that's kind of funny. They'll say, well, what are we supposed to do? While he's on point number 7, we go back to number 4. How are we supposed to do that? The God of this world, that means he is the leader of a counterfeit philosophy. Leader of counterfeit philosophy. God has established what's true, and anything that does not agree with what God established is falsehood. And the God of this world is always embracing and leading the counterfeit philosophy. If Christ is in it, Satan's opposed to it. He's the God. When we say God of this world, there's a value system that the Lord calls truth. There's a value system opposite that, and he's always leading the counterfeit value system. King of Babylon, that's the oppressor of God's people. That's what he's called in the Old Testament, and that's what he does in the New Testament. And many times God's people are not, of course, if you're truly God's people, you're not going to be demon-possessed, because possession carries with it the thought of ownership. But you can be demon-oppressed. I tell you, I'm just in a bad mood today. Boy, don't that sound good? You're not supposed to have moods. Moods are as ungodly as anything. Boy, don't say anything to him today. He's not having a good day. He'll bite your head off. I don't guess that's ever been said about any of us, has it? We can be a moody people, and moods are not of God. He's called the king of the bottomless pit. That means he is the leader of the abyss. Folks, we have a king of kings and lord of lords. He's on the throne in heaven. His name is Jesus. But there's also a king of the kingdom of hell, and that's who that is. Lucifer, the devil, Satan, he's the king of the bottomless pit. He's called the king of Tyrus. The king of Tyrus, according to Ezekiel, is one who ruled in splendor, and he lost everything through sin. See, folks, he's really a loser. And when he started dealing with Jesus in the wilderness, you know what he wanted Jesus to believe? I can give you something right now that you can't get right now. And if you'll just follow me, I'm going to give you something right now. Well, of course, he's a liar, but folks, anything that he would have proposed to give Jesus, the Father was going to give him an infinite amount greater than what Lucifer could offer him. Dr. Vance Havner used to say somewhat humorously, is the reason that Lucifer showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, said if he'd taken more than a moment, nobody with good sense would have wanted him. Folks, there's nothing about the kingdoms of this world, nothing, that's worth having. He's called wicked. Wicked means lawless one. He's just lawless. Did you know that Paul said in the first century that the spirit of iniquity was already at work? In the first century, when Paul said the spirit of iniquity is at work, it means that the spirit of lawlessness. Folks, we are a lawless people. I didn't say you are. I said we are. Have you thought about that? And I mean, we will jump on other people for not abiding by the law, and then we won't abide by parts of it. We have what I call Dalmatian values. Certain spots, you know, Dalmatians are spotted with certain spots. We want to do that. And if you don't agree with my spots and you do something else, I'm going to criticize you. Never mind, I've got my own problem. It's been, I shouldn't say it's been funny, it's just been interesting to watch that when they started shutting roads down because of trees, people went to like ants, you know, like kicking fire ant hill. We got to go somewhere right now. Got to get Cokes, got to get potato chips, got to get something. I mean, this is serious. It's not about medicine in the hospital. I got to have potato chips. So the law enforcement closed off our parking lot. So I knew that my best route was Connell Road. The gates are closed. I won the privilege of being the pastor's. I have a key, and so I unlock the gate, going to pull through and close the gate. And before I can get that gate closed, they see me, and shoo, here they come. And I said, I'm so sorry, I can't do that. And then I noticed that on the gates that are closed on Bemis Road, they went between the end of the gate and the telephone pole, right across the grass, over the curb, and onto the street. Why? Because I've got to get there, and I'm not interested in anybody else's rule. That's why it is. We're a lawless people. Doesn't matter that it's illegal. Baptists think that illegal is a sick bird. Illegal. But wicked means he's just lawless. Notice your next one, Leviathan. Leviathan is a large beast-like creature known for destruction. They tell us when we were studying that passage that happens to be Isaiah, Leviathan was some type of huge beast, and it was known for destruction. And Lucifer, the Lord said, is like Leviathan, refers to him as such. Then he calls him a liar. Well, that doesn't require much, does it? What is a liar? Somebody that falsifies. Boy, you don't want to be a liar. Now, I know we've all lied at some point in time, from childhood to now, hopefully not lately. But, folks, it's not good to falsify. Because when somebody starts falsifying, you don't know then when they talk to you, can I trust what they say or not? That's what's bad about that. I had a man say to me when I was in my teens, I will never forget his statement, and I knew who he was talking about. He said, Wayne, he is such a liar that if he was standing right where you're standing, and of course the man talking to me, his house was back over here. He said, if I was standing where you was and he told me my house was on fire, I wouldn't even turn around to look. My dad used the expression, he is such a liar, he had rather climb a tree to tell a lie than to stand on the ground and tell the truth. They just love to lie. Folks, that is a spirit of wickedness. That's the spirit of Lucifer. That's the spirit of one of his demons carrying out his work as a liar. He's called the little horn in Daniel. That's a vile person to whom honor does not belong. He's a little horn, one who doesn't deserve honor. Now, why do you suppose he would use that name for Lucifer? Because, folks, he deserves no honor at all. Don't do anything to honor the devil. I'm going to say that one more time. Don't do anything to honor the devil. And what do we do when we do wrong? Y'all know what we're doing. We're honoring the devil. Just like when we do right, who are we honoring there, folks? Jesus, well, the Lord. Then the word Lucifer is used, and that word name Lucifer means light before the fall. Light before the fall. L-I-G-H-T, light before the fall. The man of sin, that's somebody that embodies all that's evil. In the Scripture, when the Scripture uses, O thou man of God, it's supposed to be one who embodies that which is godly. And when it uses the term man of sin, it's one that embodies all that's evil. Murderer, y'all know what a murderer does? He just kills and destroys. Kills and destroys. Power of darkness. That's the authority and strength of evil. He's called the power of darkness because he brings to bear the very strength of evil. Folks, I don't have to convince you tonight that evil is strong, do I? Evil is powerful. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Never in my mind until 9/11 of 01 had it ever occurred to me that anybody would be evil enough to take an airplane full of fuel and fill with people and run it into a building. That concept, in my wildest imagination, never entered my mind. And when I think about the authority and strength of evil, that, folks, is unspeakably evil. And that's powerful in terms of evil. Would you agree with that? But there is a power greater than that. And the power greater than that is that God's own Son guilty of no sin and no wrong, would willingly be nailed to a cross, the power of that love is greater than any evil that the devil himself has ever imagined. And he knows that. That's why he wants to keep people away from the love of God. And that's why he wants to keep me messed up most of the time, and you too, so that we will not reveal that love, because that love, folks, is of God, is irresistible. Now, prince of the power of the air, that is the ruler of the atmosphere of the earth. Now, look here. Paul talked about being caught up to the third heaven. Heaven number one, the sky. Heaven number two, the planets. Heaven number three, the abode of God. And Paul had been caught up to the abode of God. And when he was referred to as the prince of the power of the air, he is indeed the ruler of the atmosphere of the earth. His demons work in this domain. He works in this domain. And he seeks to use the very atmosphere. Now, I don't have to take time to convince you of this when I tell you that you have thought sometime in your life that you walked into a room and you could, quote, cut the tension with a knife. There was a tensious spirit in that room. And folks, you've also walked into rooms where it was so obvious that the Spirit of God was there. I tell you, I just felt like those people were exuding the love of God. Well, folks, we want the airways cleared of any evil influence. Now, when you use foul language, you are filling your atmosphere with that which is wicked. Hang on to your shirts a moment. When you listen to the wrong kind of music, you are filling your atmosphere with that which is wicked. You can't fill your atmosphere, much less talk about sticking it in your head, with words and phrases and rhythm even of a song, because the rhythm will carry along the melody, which generally is the message of the song. And you will remember 40 and 50 years later when you hear that sound, even if the words are not being sung, you will remember the words of that song. You will remember where you were. You will remember what you were doing. And when it was of a secular nature, most of the time what you're remembering is not good. And he's telling us that there is a ruler over the atmosphere. And folks, we need to do all we can to keep our atmosphere full of that which is clean, which is pure, which is holy. Well, can I not listen to anything? Sure, play the Word of God. Play something like the choir would sing that lifts up the name of Jesus. Now, this won't be popular, and I'm just going to make a statement and move on. Much of what you will listen on your Christian radio station in the name of Christian music is absolute junk. And if you took the words out, I don't know if that's coming out of a bar room or if that's coming out of the house of God. Well, how do I tell the difference? If you really mean that question, you're in bad shape. Folks, there is a melody that absolutely touches the strings of the heart and soothes the soul. I remember hearing Papa Sam say, he said, you know, Wayne, and he was just being honest because Papa Sam had music in his background and studied music. He said, you know, Martha Sturm is not the finest soloist that ever lived on this planet. But when Martha gets through singing, the spirit of each of us has been soothed and calmed and made right with God. And some of the church music, if I had to sit and listen to it, I'd look at whoever's beside me and just slug them, because it has wound you up so tight and so tense. And we have so filled our current church music with what I call a synthetic sound that's full of stress. Nothing that can calm anymore. Now, I've already said more than I meant to. So, prince of the power of the air, the atmosphere. Roaring lion. Folks, a roaring lion is restless, cruel, terrorizing. I read something the other day that said you could hear, now I don't know if this is true or not, but if you went, say, to the on a safari, you could conceivably hear the roar of a lion for 5 miles. Boy, that's a big roar. I understand for those who hunt that it can vibrate the ground. But I'll tell you what I do know. He's restless, he's cruel, and he's terrorizing. That's what that means. Rulers of the darkness. A ruler is one who controls and governs. And so he is ruling and controlling the evil of that which is dark. And you know in Scripture that truth in the Bible is equated to light, and error and falsehood is used to describe that which is dark. And so he is the ruler of the darkness. He is the controller and governor of that which is evil and false. Chief of the devils. To be chief of the devils. Now, what do you think that means if somebody's chief, first in rank? Of all the demon spirits, he's chief. He's their head honcho. Prince of this world. He's the ruler over the evil world. Just the ruler. He's the prince. He's the ruler over the evil world. Then we find the word Satan is used. And it just means that he's an accuser. He is just an accuser. Old serpent. Old means long time. Serpent means crafty deception. So he is just, for a long time, he's been the one of crafty deceptions. The old serpent. Son of perdition. Now, did you know that Judas has been referred to as a son of perdition? Son of perdition means the child of damnation and destruction. Child of damnation and destruction. He's referred to in Revelation 9:1 as star fall from heaven. Star fall from heaven means he's an evil fallen angel. That's all he is. He's the tempter. Now, what comes to our minds when we think about he and his cohorts being tempter? A man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, says the Scripture. So what does that mean? It means that he will test you. He will scrutinize you, and he will entice you. And my greatest understanding of that was when years ago Beth and I did a lot of bass fishing. You could take certain, and we enjoyed plastic worms and artificial bait, did very little fresh bait fishing at all, and you could take a certain bait and throw it and crank it in, and you could actually at times see that fish in the water, and he gave no attention to it. Well, you know what we did? If he's not going to hit a black worm, we're going to try another color worm. We're going to try something that's got a silver spoon on it. We're going to keep throwing a bait until we find something that he shows interest in and he's enticed. I was throwing a spinner bait one day because I had thrown other things. I was in the boat with Papa Sam on Lake Hamilton in Hot Springs, Arkansas. He said, Wayne, throw right over yonder, and I'm going to tell you as you bring it in where my bait was the other day when that fish hit my bait. And so as I bring that in, Papa Sam said, right there's where I was. And when he said there, a bass hit mine and I brought it into the boat. There was a bed of them there. They had a place to hide there. And he couldn't stand, the bass couldn't, that skirt on that spinnerbait was doing just like that, and that silver spoon, and he couldn't stand it. And here's what the devil knows. He's got tricks in his box. And he'll run one thing past you. If it does no good, he'll run something else past you. Because as the son of perdition, he is wanting to damn you and destroy you. And he is going to do what he can to try to find what will entice you, tempter, entice you, test you, scrutinize you. Let me see what it is your weak spots are. And folks, I happen to think that in the world of fallen angels, somewhere out there, the devil for you has a secretary that's listening, that's paying attention, that's watching. Folks, when I see you at a car lot kicking tires opening doors and looking around, what do you suppose I come to the conclusion of? Now, just think about that. What kind of conclusion might I come to? I think he has an interest, or she has an interest in that car. They're kicking the tires open. All the doors are looking everywhere. The devil can tell by your very body language and what you're showing an interest in. Even if it's for, it won't hurt me to go by a porn site just for, I won't be there 30 seconds. Now, what do you think the devil thinks that you might be interested in? Nakedness. I don't want this to be crude. I don't want this to embarrass me, and I sure don't embarrass you, nor do I want to embarrass Jesus. But it's been the most amazing thing for me to get into my pea brain why married men and women would want to look at somebody else, picture-wise, computer-wise, magazine-wise, or literally, because I'm married. If I got somebody and I want to look at nakedness, we go into the house and I'm going to look till my eyes are sore. Marriage is an honorable thing, and the bed, which is a euphemism in Scripture for the marriage act, for the sex act, is not defiled. And why a married man would go look at somebody else, or a married woman, and there is such a thing as porn for women, why you would do that, absolutely, I don't have what it takes to connect that. Tempter. Two more. Thief. Folks, if I slip over to your house tonight and I'm really a thief and I'm in the dark and I don't want you to see me, what do you suppose I got on my mind? Stealing. And a thief is somebody that steals. And he will steal. He will kill. And he will finally destroy. And there's not anything you have that is so precious that he wouldn't steal it. And furthermore, the more precious you think it is, he will do his best to steal it. Final one, he's called the wicked one. Folks, wicked is a word for evil. He is just the evil one. Now look here, let me conclude like this. If I said, or you asked me the question, Brother Wayne, who personifies all that's good? Now stay with me, you're shuffling. Listen to me. Who personifies all that's good and godly and true and pure? Who personifies that in its fullest personified? Who would you say I would call the name of? Jesus. He, Satan, personifies everything that is the opposite of Jesus. He is the wicked one. Everything that's impure, everything that's false, just run the litany. That's what he does. He is the wicked one. And when I don't serve God like I should, listen, when I don't talk like I should, when I don't act like I should, when I don't have ways about my personality like him, I am in that moment giving some credibility to the one who is wicked. And in that moment, I am honoring him. And I don't think we want to do that. I think, let's see, at the top of your list, at the top of your handout, let me look back at mine. Yeah, he's the motivator of spiritual attack. That's what he is. He's behind every bit of it. And God wanted us to know he is so behind it. I've given him these names for you to be aware that he is not playing with you. Let's pray together. As you bow your head, let me ask you a question. Are you serious? Now, don't answer, of course, out loud, but in your heart, are you really serious about living for God? Do you think that everybody's got some faults and mine's no worse than nobody else's, and I just don't see where a little bit of that stuff, I know it's not all that good, but I don't see where a little bit of that's going to hurt anything. See, you're already in major, major, major trouble. Because you don't realize that to have that conclusion already in your heart, you're dealing and messing and dabbling with the one who's the motivator of all that's wicked. Why don't you say to the Lord, Lord, I am in some areas of my life right now in trouble. Lord, as my pastor desires to live for you, I want you, Lord, to do in my life and give me a fresh desire. And Father, I want to ask you to do that in me right now. Help me to remember that I don't have time and place. It's too serious for me to dabble in that which you have made plain is just ungodly and from the one that's wicked. May I give no help or hope to the motivator of that which is wicked, but may I do my best to give myself wholly, W-H-O-L-Y, wholly, completely, to the one who is pure and true and honest and loving and kind. I pray, oh God, for my people tonight, and I pray for their pastor, and I pray that collectively you'll make of us a people full of you, and may the irresistible presence of our sweet Jesus grow as we grow in the grace and knowledge of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I wouldn't be faithful to the gospel if I didn't ask, as we're about to give an invitation and appeal, have you received Christ as your Savior? Don't be afraid to come to the altar to receive Christ, and don't be afraid to come and pray.